The House Secondary Education and Career Development Subcommittee will now come to order. For the record, please remember to turn on your microphones for the roll call. Missy, will you please call the roll?
Chair McLean.
Here.
Vice Chair Shoaf.
Here.
Ranking Member Bush.
Here.
Representative Altman.
Here.
Representative Andrade.
Here.
Representative Benjamin.
Here.
Representative Barrero. Representative Fisher is excused. Representative Maney.
Here.
Representative Mello.
Here.
Representative Omfroy is excused. Representative Rizzo.
Here.
Representative Robinson.
Here.
Representative Sabatini. Representative Tuck.
Here.
Representative Valdez.
Present.
Representative Woodson.
Yeah.
Representative Yarborough. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Missy. Members, we do have a quorum. Members, this morning we have two bills that we'll be hearing. Please remember to silence all your electronic devices, be recognized by the chair before addressing the committee or the presenters, and make sure your microphones are on after you've been recognized and when voting on a bill. Thank you all for being here this early this morning. And but this is, 8 o'clock, that's what time everybody goes to work anyway, right, in the world. So, okay, all right, so we're good to go. So let's get right to it. And first, we'll hear Representative Garrison, House Bill 1533. Good morning, Representative. You're recognized to explain your bill.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. HB 1533 deals with virtual learning in our Department of Corrections system. As you may know, the DOC currently houses approximately 80,000 inmates, about half of which cannot read at a sixth grade level, and about 1,600 of which are under the age of 22. This bill, HB 1533, is an attempt to bring the Florida virtual school within the prison system. The bill would authorize FLVS to offer blended learning courses to inmates younger than 22 years old, provide them the opportunity to earn a high school diploma beginning, if authorized, within 22-23 school year.
Also, Garrison,
yes, sir.
Speak up just a little bit.
It's early, Mr. Chairman.
Sorry. we can't hear either. So, yeah.
The bill would authorize the FLVS to offer blended learning courses to inmates younger than 22 years old, provide them an opportunity to earn a high school diploma within the department system. These students would be full time, and with the assistance of FLVS and the department and the DOE. I would also utilize a common student assessment instrument protocol for measuring student progress. Mr. Chairman, the House has made education of our youth a priority for the state of Florida. This bill will continue our mission to provide this goal for all of our youth, as well as provide for rehabilitation for those who are in the department. Mr. Chairman, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there questions on the bill? Representative Valdez, you're recognizing questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. May I be recognized for a series?
I'm sorry?
Maybe recognized for a series.
Yes, ma'am. You don't have to go back and forth through the chair. Just
yes, sir.
You can have a conversation unless you get off the beaten path.
And I'll speak up too.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning.
Good morning,
Rep. Garrison. Can you define what you mean by blended courses within the Department of Corrections?
The purpose is obviously when you have a Department of Corrections setting, it's not a traditional. It's different if you're in a DOC in a controlled setting as it would be in if you're just at home on your laptop. The circumstances are a little bit different. So you're going to have DOC has would have individuals who have been certified to assist with the training and the delivery of these sorts of virtual materials. So it's blended in that sense.
How will this affect our detention centers that will have students that are under the age of 18 and still in our traditional public school system?
Are you talking about detention centers in terms of DOC facilities or juvenile justice facilities?
Juvenile justice.
This would only apply to the Department of Corrections. These are adult inmates currently housed in the DOC, not for juvenile justice. So it would be unrelated to the DJJ's program. This would be separate and a part of that.
So when on the second bullet of the summary analysis, it states that it will establish the Florida virtual system, I don't know what JEP stands for.
Justice Education Program.
Gotcha, thank you very much. To offer inmates younger than 22 years old.
Correct.
So that gives me pause in thinking that we might be going a little bit younger than, maybe 16, 17.
Currently in the Department of Correction, which is the adult prison system, separate and apart from DJJ, these are either folks who are 18 years or older or have been have been direct filed and are in that sort of different process. We have about 1,600 individuals in the adult system who are 22 years of age or younger. This bill is designed to identify the needs of those students, those young men and women, who don't have access to the educational programs that are currently in place as part of the DJJ process.
So we're looking at students or youngsters that are between the age of 18 and 22, would you say?
I think for the most part, that's a safe assessment.
And, yes, sir. Sure, absolutely.
So, don't mind us.
hey, you're not allowed to have a private conversation in the committee.
I'll speak into the mic clearer. Thank you. And I apologize for that. We talk about industry certifications, which is a great thing. I mean, absolutely, while they're in there, they should be able to utilize their time to, well, better themselves, right? How will we determine what industry certifications they will be able to obtain?
I think the best way I'm going to answer that question, and I think the series of questions, if I can, to try to get right to the crux of it is, and our DJJ facilities have an existing framework in place to provide education for minors who find themselves in detention, secure, mid-level, whatever it is. But we've got a situation where when it comes to adults who are in the DOC system, we have data that establishes very clearly that the overwhelming number of inmates in those facilities have little to no education as it relates to formal, the numbers speak for themselves. We have a great tool in the Florida Virtual platform that the state has invested heavily in where we can provide high-quality content, virtually. And students around the state and, quite frankly, around the country are able to access this. So we've got a need in our Department of Correction systems with young adults who desperately need access to education, and the current system simply can't get that. You can't get enough brick-and-mortar, face-to-face education, people coming into the prisons to provide this system. We're trying to figure out how we can scale it out and provide educational opportunities for inmates who want to take advantage of it. Because quite frankly, when you're dealing with individuals who are that young and find themselves in the DOC system, they're coming out at some point. And whatever we can do to try to actually put some flesh on it, it's called the Department of Corrections for a reason, and a big component of that is educational access. So we have this tool. The question is, how can we take this tool and make it available to people who are in the DOC system so that they at least have an opportunity, if they choose to avail themselves of it, of walking out of prison with a high school diploma?
That didn't really answer my question.
Well, I don't remember your question, so you may have to repeat it for me. I apologize.
How will these industry certifications will be introduced to these students? First of all, we got to get them reading before they get an industry certification, right? And that's, we talk about that on the fifth bullet. Requires that students enrolled in the Florida Virtual Juvenile Education Program to take all industry certification exams. National and statewide standardized assessment in the institution. So I'm concerned about this requirement when we are talking about that some of these students have not, they can't even read above a sixth grade level. So if a student might be in there, a loved one might be in there, let's say maybe 2 years, I don't think that it'll be humanly feasible for a student to be required to take an industry certification exam or an assessment when their reading proficiency is not where it needs to be. So I wonder, what would be the consequence if the child that's in this particular predicament is given the idea of you have to get your high school diploma as a condition to get out and may not necessarily meet this requirement?
Representative, I don't want to, there are a lot of things to unpack in that statement. I think the best thing I can do is say this. First of all, these are young adults. These are young men and women who are adults who find themselves in the DOC system. No one's required to do anything. pursue as part of this. This is not a mandatory process. It's purely elective for those who choose to avail themselves of it. And I think to the extent that we can utilize the FLVS platform to provide basic skills so that individuals who decide to avail themselves of this program could walk out with a full-time, with a high school diploma. Obviously, if you can't read, we're not going to say, sorry, you can't read, now we're going to, but you're required to do these other sorts of things that require fundamental, it's no different than anything else. So I would say that the portion of the staff analysis, I think you think you've got your focus on is the requirement. There is no requirement. It is elective. You choose to avail yourself of this or not. If you choose to avail yourself of the program, we're going to be monitored and progress will be recorded just like you would anyone else who's using the FLVS program, but there's no requirement for anyone to do anything.
Don't get me wrong. I appreciate where this is going. I really do. I'm just really concerned, having visited, about 35 of the facilities of the Department of Corrections, in which on their website they claim that they have all of these programs, including the GED, et cetera, and it just looks very pretty on the website, but none of that is happening in our prison system currently. So and words matter, so that's why my question about this requires, because of what I have seen in my tours of these facilities. So I'm really concerned about that, and although I do believe that we should offer these programs, absolutely, 100% believe in that. But moving on to the next question, how will an online...
Representative Valdez, if I could maybe take a stab at that just for a second. So this would only be if the child chose to try to do the industry certification. It's not every student that's there is going to automatically be required. So it would be something that they would have to opt into, I guess, if you will, and say, we want to do this. Then to get to the industry certification, that would move forward from there. But it's not required in the sense that everyone, because you're correct, if you can't read, you're going to have a hard time taking an assessment. So, so just keep that in mind, I think.
Okay.
Representative Valdez, I do have some other folks I want to ask some questions too.
Come back if we can.
Okay. Representative Woodson, you're recognized in a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm going to make it very quick. I just want some clarification. I believe that you have touch over it. Does the bill address those students charged as adults that are in the county jail?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, no, this would only apply to young adults under the age of 22 who find themselves in the DOC system. So the state county jails or the DJJ facilities would be separate and apart. This would only be DOC.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.
You're welcome. Representative Robinson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Representative, for bringing this bill. I have a couple of questions. And one I'm going to start with kind of piggyback off of Rep. Woodson. Okay, so but if a child is, say, they're 16, but they're, I guess, direct filed, they're charged as an adult, mm-hmm. and they actually go into correction, would they be, they'll be able to take part in this program, correct? No?
Thank you, Chairman. The answer to the question is this would apply to any individuals in DOC custody. This option would be available. Mm-hmm. to any individuals in the custody of DOC who are under the age of 22. Certainly, if you have a direct file juvenile who is in DOC custody, and it's been a little while since I've done that from my prosecutor days and looked at those sorts of situations. But if you have a 17-year-old mm-hmm. who is in custody at a DOC facility, this would certainly apply to them as well.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so that's just wanted to clear that up. Chair?
You're recognized.
Okay. So as an educator, I think this is like right on point. I do have concerns though, because we talked about how most that are in the system, they may not be able to read. They're not on level. And working with students on virtual school can be very challenging. I know that you stated or here is stated that it will be blended. So would they be some type of assistance or tutoring to kind of help them with that process? Because just getting online won't do it.
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative, for the question. Yes, I mean, it's, look, if you're in prison, It's a little different than going downstairs, getting your coffee, logging on, and doing your math homework, right? So, I mean, it's there are different factors involved there, which is why the bill requires that that the department have individuals who are FLVS certified to assist the young men and women in trying to access this. There are a host of issues, logistics issues, that need to be sorted out as part of this process because, to your point, you're in prison. And there are issues associated with that that have to be dealt with. But I go back to, again, to the main thing. We have this tool. We have a desperate need to provide educational and corrections opportunities for individuals who find themselves incarcerated. They've got plenty of time on their hands. And we want to make it so they can hopefully walk out better than they walked in.
Last question, Chair.
You recognize.
Okay, the last question is, in the analysis, it talks about the authorizes a student who turns 22 of age to remain in the program if approved,
ma'am.
But funding for the student through the Florida Education Finance Program is prohibited. So my question would be, how would it be paid for, you know, and how would they allow that student to stay?
You recognize.
Thank you. What we want to get out of is a situation where someone who, on their 22nd birthday, all of a sudden they're on the cusp of walking out with their high school diploma, and they can't do anything, right? I mean, they're cut off. So what you have is basically a safety valve provision that allows for an appeal. If you've got someone who is that close to getting their high school diploma, they're allowed to petition the DOE for an exception that allows them to complete their work. But it'd be separate and apart from the traditional funding model.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome. Representative Rizzo.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Rep. Garrison. And I just want a little clarification. In reading the bill analysis, it obviously says that Florida Virtual Schools, that it would work with the DOE to create a common assessment and that students would have access to Florida Virtual Schools. Now, in looking into it, I know that there's a number of curricula, especially for reading, because, you know, I heard that was a concern. Just want to make sure that curricula will be available to anyone that is enrolled in this program, and that common assessment, of course, will be part of the battery that goes on when students possibly find themselves maybe not reading on par with someone that would be taking one of these certification examinations.
You recognize?
I can't see where that would be. My understanding is that would be the case.
Yeah. Representative Valdez, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I see that on page 9 of the assessment, of the analysis, rather, we have a financial impact of preparing for workstations and things of that nature. How many facilities will this program, I mean, considering how many students we have or how many loved ones would qualify for this program and they're spread out, how would we manage that?
You recognize.
That'd be something we obviously have to work out with DOC. I mean, right now you've got individuals at a variety of facilities and they make their classification determinations based on a criteria that DOC has. Certainly, you want to make sure you're, you know, keeping the cost as minimal as possible. So I think that's something we would need to work out with DOC to make sure that they would have the ability to kind of, you know, instead of maybe have these facilities spread out all throughout the department, focus them on particular facilities that will allow them to keep the cost as minimal as possible.
And back to the question that Rep. Robinson talked about having, I think it's very difficult to learn to read online without having that individual there to help guide you along. Are we looking for those correctional officers to take on that role? Are we looking at potentially having a certified teacher to come in? Logistically, I just don't know how this will work. And again, I heard Chair when you said it's not a requirement, but looking at this summary analysis, being that the word requires is in there, it brings me to that kind of pause.
You recognize.
Thank you, Representative. And I guess with all issues, I would say point to the bill and not the analysis. On all these sorts of things, the bill will be where we go to as opposed to the analysis. But No, there's not an expectation that you're going to have COs walking around, working as reading tutors. That's not what we're talking about here. We have a program in place currently whereby we have educators who are certified to come into the prisons to provide some of these services, but they're not able to scale it out. There's only so many of them, and we haven't extended them. Put it this way, the demand for the services exceeds the supply of the educators. And so what we're trying to do is provide a tool that would allow those folks to scale out and touch more individuals. And again, we're talking with folks who are incarcerated, who have found themselves, if you're under 22 years of age and you find yourself in the custody of DOC, something's gone really wrong. And so what we're trying to do is get a situation where for those individuals, these young men and women who are in prison, and likely may be there for a little while. If you find yourself in prison at that stage and are going to be released at some point, to make sure we use every tool we have in our toolkit to provide them an opportunity to be better going out than when they walked in. But so, yes, there will be certified instructors. We're not talking about guards providing this service.
Representative Valdez, also on page 7, it says that FLVS certified personnel who provide instruction, in other words, they would provide instruction through online courses or through blended learning courses consisting of both traditional classroom and online instructional. So I think one of the key things to remember is it's blended. This is blended. This isn't just going to be a virtual course. So just keep that in mind, that it would be a blended course. Also, I think in part of the analysis, DOC estimated that they would need 50 full-time FTEs, and I think the cost is somewhere around $3.5 million for that. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Andrade.
Thank you, Chair. Representative McLean, I care very deeply about recidivism issues because I think that's a conservative metric. If recidivism is high, we're not doing our job here in the Florida legislature. My understanding is that every study related to education in the prison system results in between like a 30 to 50% reduction in recidivism risk for people who've actually gone through education programs. Do you believe that this proposal would be a tool to help reduce recidivism of those who actually participate in the program?
You reckon that?
1,000%. I mean, we share an interest in that. As a prosecutor for many years before coming to the legislature, and have seen the human cost associated with this. From my perspective, as a conservative and as someone who believes in what we do from a criminal justice standpoint, we have an obligation to punish, but we also have an obligation to society to try to make sure that folks, when they come out, and they will come out eventually, have had every opportunity to be in a better place than when they walked in.
Question? Okay, seeing them. There are no amendments. Are there appearance cards? Karen Mazzola, Florida PTA, waves in opposition. Oh, I'm sorry, waves in support. Excuse me, waves in support. Those are all the appearance cards. Members, is there debate? Representative Robinson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And I just wanted to thank Representative Garrison for this bill. I think it's going to be very interesting on how everything plays out, but I truly believe that it's moving in the right step, and I will be supporting it and like to see how it moves forward.
Representative Woodson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I know it's early, Rep. Garrison. Thank you for clarifying all the questions for us. But really, I visited the jails, one of the jails down there in South Florida recently. And what I saw, a lot of young men, very smart, but needs to get something before they get out of jail. And I think this is a great beginning for them. Hopefully, we can also extend it later to add a component where there would be a counselor in jail who would direct them, give them a pathway to even move forward, because a lot of them have a lot of abilities. And this is a great program. This is a great beginning. So thank you so much for working on it. Thank you.
Representative Andrade, you recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And this is a unique to me, being on four education committees and one healthcare committee. I never get to talk about criminal justice issues in committee. So thank you, Representative Garrison, for actually bringing this bill Recidivism is something that I've always just been passionate about trying to figure out on how to fix in the state of Florida. We got a 25% recidivism rate, meaning within the first 3 years of release from prison, 25% of folks who are released from a Florida prison are likely to go back to commit another crime and go back to a Florida institution. Education programs like this are a perfect opportunity to, one, do what our core mission should be, which is rehabilitation. I think for too long in America, our focus has been on retribution, just punishment for punishment's sake. And opportunities like this from conservatives like you, Representative Garrison, just give me a lot of hope for Florida's future. I'm a little bit saddened by the fact that it's got four committee references and this is its first one. So it may not pass this year, but I do hope that you continue working in this space because I think you can do a great job to help fix this issue for Florida citizens.
Representative Rizzo.
Thank you, Chair. Rob Garrison, thanks for bringing this bill forward. Florida Virtual Schools over the last 3 years has shown gains that outpace some of our largest school systems in Florida. And I feel very confident that this is the right tool to use to impart that education. They do a great job of working with professionals in person for that blended opportunity, and I think that is going to be the key. So I'm very confident, and I look forward to voting up on it.
Representative Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Rep. Garrison, thank you for bringing this bill forward. I am extremely passionate about anything that has to do with education and being able to give students and children and young adults a second chance and really come out of these awful situations, as you very well put, better than when they came into. My biggest concern, I'm going to be up on this bill because I believe in it. My biggest concern is the implementation, of which the fidelity in which the Department of Corrections will continue to provide these services. The reason why I say that, and I'll say it publicly, is because of the fact that I have visited several prisons throughout the state of Florida, which again state that they have these wonderful programs for these loved ones that are incarcerated that have ample time in their hands to be able to successfully do these programs that A, they're either just in name only, B, they're not being done with fidelity, and C, quite frankly, they don't care in those that are in charge of these individuals. And the only way I know how to be is honest about it, because that's what I have seen in the 30-plus prisons that I visit throughout the state of Florida. So I do believe in this, and I'm up on this bill. We have to remember that there has been 13 secretary departments in the last 10 years, 11 years, and nothing has changed when it comes to correcting anything in our correctional facilities. On the contrary, it's been the total opposite. So you have a little bit more faith in me and the Department of Corrections of being able to do this with fidelity. I have yet to get to that level because of what I have seen in my 4 years of being a legislator and actually visiting prisons unannounced and seeing what's happening in these prisons. So with that, I believe in everything that my colleagues have said. Rep. Andrade, your recidivism comment is very well taken, and I just pray that hearts are opened up in this Department of Corrections, and especially now that we're moving forward to helping them get more money in their salaries so that then they can hopefully, instead of harming loved ones that are in there, that they use that to change their hearts and provide the services that these individuals need in order to have a more prosperous life when they come out of their situation. So again, I'm up on this bill. I believe in what you're trying to do. I just don't believe in the department's ability to carry it out with fidelity and with the love that it deserves. Thank you.
In debate, members. I'm going to take a second. Just Representative Garrison, thank you for bringing this bill forward. I think it's a great tool to be able to offer, obviously, to these young people that are in DOC, and certainly I think your comment, if you're in DOC custody at this age, something's gone, you know, certainly gone awry in your life. But that's no reason for us not to try. And then certainly there's no reason. I don't think anybody here in your comments, that's what you meant. But I think that, you know, it's another tool. It's another way to help. The cost of the program is relatively small. The recidivism savings on the other side are probably could be great. And so it's a great bill. Thank you for bringing it to the committee today. And with that, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members, for the comments and the feedback. I do appreciate it. And there, you're right, Representative Robinson. There's a lot of work to do to get this to a point to where we can work out some of those details. But again, whether it's this year or whether it's in the future, this is an idea whose time has come. I'll tell you from my perspective, you know, I've spent many, many years in the criminal courts of the state of Florida. And I recall, I mean, I had to look a lot of young men and women in the eye as they're getting the cuffs put on and put in the back and realizing their liberty is going to be taken away from them for a long time, and deservedly so. They've done, like I said, for the folks who find themselves in DOC in these situations, some bad stuff has happened. But there is a human cost associated with that. Anytime you see someone's liberty taken away, it should give you pause. And so if we have an opportunity as a state to utilize the tools we already have that we've invested in with FLVS, which is, to represent Rizzo's points, an amazing tool, if we have this tool in our toolkit and we can provide opportunities for folks who choose to avail themselves of it, I mean, you can't force these sorts of things. But if people want to take advantage of the time that they have when their liberty has been taken from them and they are in the department's custody to come out a better person than when they come in, that seems like a worthwhile goal for all of us, regardless of our party affiliation. So with that, I'll close, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Garrison. Missy, would you please call the roll?
Representative Altman?
Yes.
Andrade?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Guerrero?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Mello? Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yarbrough?
Yes.
Chair McClain?
Yes. Thank you. Members, by your vote, House Bill 1533 will be reported favorably. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. Have a great morning.
Now, members, we will move into our second bill. It's House Bill 1025, and this is by Ranking Member Bush, Summer Youth Service Learning. Representative Bush, you're recognized to explain House Bill 1025.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for this opportunity. House Bill 1025 is a summer youth service program which gives young people in the various 67 school districts an opportunity for summer employment. The focus is around the students around the ages of 14 to 22. Also, it focused on low and moderate income students, and as well as students who have demonstrated outstanding academic achievement and skills, trade skills. The way this is set up is that it comes through the Department of Education. The Department of Education will create some educational hubs so that the students can apply for the employment. The participants that's in this program that will be providing these opportunities, summer opportunities for the students, are the state agencies. We have approximately around 28 state agencies that will be, by law, is required to be participants. We also have the 67 school districts throughout the state of Florida, by law, is required to be participants. Now, the local governments, as well as the private businesses, is optional. They can participate, but they're not required by law. Mr. Chairman, I did promise you I'm going to give you the short version. So with that being said, that's the essence of the bill.
Thank you, Representative Bush. Members, are there questions on the bill? Any questions? All right, seeing none. There are no amendments. Are there appearance cards? There are no appearance cards. Is there debate? Representative Andrade, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Bush, thank you so much for this idea. I can tell you firsthand that in Escambia County, Commissioner Lumen May, who represents some of the poorest neighborhoods in Escambia County, started a similar program where kids get to go earn a paycheck and work in a county agency. And I've gone to their graduations, and I look forward to having one of those students in my office in the Florida Legislature if I can work the details out with the county in the next few months. But this is a great idea, and the impact it has on kids is incredible. So I think it's a great idea. I look forward to support it.
Thank you so much.
Representative Woodson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Ranking Member Bush, for bringing this bill forward. We know a lot of our kids during the summer, they need something to do to keep them out of trouble. And I know you have put your heart and soul into this bill. You have been filing it for years, and it's finally coming to fruition. We all would benefit from it in our district, so I appreciate the work that you have done and look forward to working with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Robinson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And I do want to thank Representative Bush for bringing this program. Also, in our local government, City of Miami Gardens have been doing this for years through the summer program, working with Career Source. And I can attest that it is truly a benefit to the children and community. So I think that this is a marvelous idea that the state is willing to take it on and move this statewide. So that's great.
Representative Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Ranking Member Bush. Thank you so much for bringing this bill forward, bringing opportunities to youngsters that maybe otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity to participate in exploring what might be out there and opening their eyes and minds to the possibilities of greatness is amazing. So this is a wonderful idea alongside with what we just talked about with Rep. Garrison's bill. It's a great opportunity to open the eyes and minds of our students that we're trying to keep out of that other system. So thank you very much for bringing this forward.
In debate, members. Representative Bush, you're recognized to close.
Thank you. I normally just use one phrase, but let me utter these words. It's a great opportunity when you come from a district that children are speaking a certain language. Our kids are crying out to us, so much so that they are picking up weapons and not only using it on others, but they're using it on each other. And so when we can give them an alternative to violence, alternative to guns, then I think that we are moving in the right direction. I much rather, this is going into my, after this year, will be going into my 15th year in this process, starting all the way back from 1992. And I can tell you that our children every year crying out to have an opportunity. I'd rather go back to the district not committing a body of a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old or a 20-year-old or a 30-year-old to the ground or doing a eulogy. I prefer going back to my district and throughout the state of Florida and handing these children an opportunity so they can thrive and be the best. So with that being said, I need y'all to bless me, and I need a blessing.
Representative Bush, thank you. Missy, would you please call the roll?
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Andrade?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Ferrero?
Yes.
Bush?
Blessing, yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Mello? Rizzo? Robinson?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair McClain?
Yes. Members, by your vote, you have blessed Representative Bush with House Bill 1025 will be reported favorably.
Thank you for the blessing. Member.
Members, this is the last meeting that we will have as the Secondary Education and Career Development Subcommittee. I want to tell all of you how much I appreciate all of the input and the questions that you've asked. And You've always been very respectful of all of our presenters. You've always asked great questions. Obviously, Rep. Garrison is a great example of that. You all understood the concept, but you want to talk about the nuts and bolts, how this thing's going to work. And I think that's the important part when we're having conversations about policy, making good policy. And again, you make it easy for me as a chair because I can kind of just sit here and try to run the meeting and keep all of you in some order. But anyway, so I do appreciate that. If you get a chance, either send a card or come up to the suite and walk by and thank some of these folks that have done a lot of work for us this year. Joanna, Jason, Missy, Chris certainly. She makes me look very good all the time, so I appreciate that. Naomi, Taylor, Kelly, and Shayna. So they're the ones that keep all this running, keep all this together. All of you who've presented bills have been able to be in contact with them. They help you. They make sure that your bills are in, you know, the right posture and before we bring them forward to committee. And so if you get a chance, just walk by and say thank you. And with that, the meeting, Representative Ranking Member Bush, for a final comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since this is the final committee meeting, I don't need but 15 minutes to make these comments. However, let me just say how delighted I am to have had the opportunity to serve under your leadership in this committee. You have been a gentleman. You certainly have carried this committee to a higher level. And I've been in this process a long time, and I can tell you, I won't forget these experiences that I have had on this committee. And wish you the best in your endeavors, and I'm looking forward to complete this year with you. With that being said, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ranking Member. Vice Chair Schoaf, do you have a final comment? No. All right, members, again, thank you so much. Without further Representative Vice Chair Schoaf moves, we rise. And we're adjourned.